Our New Testament lesson is from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. And these are the last eight verses in the book of James. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Updated Edition. This is James chapter 5, starting at verse 13. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we wrap up our 5-week sermon series on the book of James. And a major theme throughout the book has been wisdom. What does it mean to be wise? What does it mean for the Christian to be wise? What does it mean for the church to cultivate wisdom? And what we've learned is that wisdom in this case does not mean erudite knowledge. It's not some kind of password into a secret club where everyone in the secret club is really wise and everyone who isn't is not. Instead, what makes us wise is our peaceableness. What makes us wise is how we care for each other, how we pray for each other. That is what makes us wise. And that is how James wraps up his letter, which really has been about wisdom. I also noticed a bit of polity in today's lesson. This week and last week and this coming week, we've been having our elder deacon training for returning and new deacons and elders. And one of the things that we learn about in polity is what it takes to call a special meeting of session. The moderator or the pastor can call a meeting, and any two members of session can call a session meeting. But in James's church, what did it take for someone to call a session meeting? If someone was sick, they could call a meeting of the elders and summon them, and the elders would pray for them. And I find that so moving that the most vulnerable in the church, and the Jerusalem church may have been the one mega church in the New Testament. It could have been a church of thousands. And yet those who are sick, the most vulnerable in the congregation, could summon the elders of the church, and they would come and pray. And I find that beautiful. It speaks to the deep, deep caring in that congregation. And one of the things we may also notice is that after James talks about those who are sick, then James talks about sin and confessing our sins. And we may wonder, why does he mention sin so closely after illness? And we may also remember how many people in the ancient world would associate illness and sin. If someone was sick or gravely ill, perhaps it was because of sin in their life. That story in the Gospel of John, where the disciples all asked Jesus, this man who was blind from birth, was he the one who sinned or his parents who sinned? And then Jesus said, neither. And the book of Job also challenges this assumption that illness is always due to sin. Because Job suffered, but he was a righteous man. It was not because of sin. So why is sin mentioned so closely after illness? And it's because James is talking about healing our whole person. Any illness that we might have, any spiritual or emotional distress, any breaks in relationship, any sins or things that we regret, all of that is the arena of healing for God and God's Spirit. Last week, the choir sang that beautiful anthem about a balm in Gilead, and it's to heal the sin-sick soul. And this is wholeness, a healing of the whole person. I've long been an admirer of the novelist Reynolds Price, and he wrote a memoir about his journey with spinal cancer. It was called A Whole New Life. He had surgery which saved his life, but he was rendered a paraplegic and had to use a wheelchair. And one night in his sleep, Reynolds Price had a vision. He was on the Sea of Galilee along with Jesus, and Jesus took some water and poured it over Reynolds' head, and the water poured down his body, running through his surgical scars all over him. And then Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And Reynolds was thinking, "It's not my sins I was worried about." And Jesus turned away and was walking away. And then finally Reynolds said, "But am I healed?" And then Jesus turned around and said, "That too." Now Reynolds died in 2011, not of cancer, but of a heart attack. But he was always confined to a wheelchair after his bout with cancer. And on any given day, if you asked him what his pain level was, on a rating from 1 to 10, it was never, ever below a 6 or a 7. And yet, at the same time, Reynolds said that those years were his most productive years as a writer, as a novelist, as an English professor teaching his students at Duke. He sought one kind of healing and ended up receiving a different kind of healing. But he very much felt that his whole person was being healed by God. James also encourages us to confess our sins before each other, to have that level of vulnerability and trust. And Presbyterians may not always be used to that. We have a corporate prayer of confession, which is very appropriate. We acknowledge the ways in which we all together wound our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world. But part of it is also an authentic sharing, and at times sharing with each other what our regrets are, what we might have done differently, and how we found healing. One of my favorite stories from the church that I served in Colorado is that we had a member named Don who had grown up Roman Catholic. And he joined Westminster Presbyterian Church, and he became the sexton. And he loved the building, he loved the grounds, he loved the sanctuary, thought it was beautiful. But he walked all over the church, and he couldn't find the confessional booth. And this really puzzled him. Where was the confessional booth in the church? And he kept looking. And so finally, one day, he went into the church office and talked to Barb Tyre, the office manager at Westminster. And he said, "Barb, where is the confessional booth in this church?" And Barb, without missing a beat, pointed to her desk and said, "It's right here." Somehow, we can find ways to talk with one another, to share with each other. Years ago, Barbara Brown Taylor wrote a beautiful little book called Speaking of Sin. And she writes that we often think of repentance as a turning. And preachers like to use that illustration that repentance means to turn from one direction to another. But the deeper meaning of repentance is a return to relationship. Praying for reconciliation, being brave to reach out to others in reconciliation, and being gracious if they're not yet ready to be reconciled. But nonetheless, being about that work of reconciliation, the healing of relationships. And James talks repeatedly about bringing sinners home or bringing the wanderers home. Those who have wandered away, those who have been seduced by the wisdom of the world or a search for riches or fame, they are to be brought back and welcomed back with open arms. James is all about this kind of reconciliation. And so James' concluding words on wisdom to all of us is that if any of us lacks wisdom or feel like we lack wisdom, we can pray. We can pray to God for wisdom. And we can continue to seek healing in every dimension of our lives. And our prayer is that Covenant Church, our congregation, will always be a place of welcome for everyone without exception, and a place of healing where our spirits can be healed and nurtured, where we can share with each other our journeys of faith, and we continue to give thanks to God for our healing. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.